Hello from Richard Loring. And if you're listening to me, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today. So, don't go anywhere. Just stay with us. Radio Today, your station of choice.
60 Plus is brought to you by Methodist Homes for the Aged. Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to 60 Plus. This is your host, Kelvin Glenn, and we're going to have another interesting debate about all things retirement. Today in studio, I have Karina Cronin, who is the Knowledge Manager for Charity AIDS Foundation Southern Africa. Welcome, Karina.
Thanks so much. Welcome, Kelvin.
Karina, what is Charity AIDS Foundation Southern Africa? It's a bit of a mouthful.
Well, we like to call ourselves CAF Southern Africa, or CAFSA. We're an NGO, a small NGO of around 10 people. We've existed since 15 years old. And what we really do is we promote giving. So that's our main interest, that's our main mission, to promote giving, and that includes volunteering, and really with the view that we're doing this so that giving becomes more effective and that it's able to better support the amazing work that's happening with in civil society with your nonprofit organizations. Okay. And also in schools.
Fantastic. But you're part of a bigger movement. I mean, Charity AIDS Foundation has got offices around the world. So you're part of a bigger movement. How do you draw on that knowledge and the global trends so that South Africa is not seen as a third world country?
Okay, well, so the original Charities Aid Foundation was started in the UK. And I think there are now around 8 global offices, one of them here in South Africa, others in emerging markets such as Brazil, also in India, there is one in Russia, United States, also in Australia, and a few others. And I think, you know, because we're part of this global alliance and we share a mission around promoting effective giving, we're able to draw on the good practice from the other countries to inform how we approach our work, which happens a lot with corporations in terms of advising them around how to make their CSI go further, how to make it more effective, how to get their employees involved in giving, whether it's volunteering or things like payroll giving. And in fact, just yesterday, CAF in the UK launched the 2015 World Giving Index, which is really the preeminent report on giving globally. So we're linked to that. And one of the key findings, which is kind of a good news story for South Africans, is that 73% of South Africans in 2014 helped a stranger. And this was 3.5 million more than in 2013. In any case, so we're part of this global movement, and because of our involvement and because of CAF's work, South Africa is on the map in terms of our giving. And in the region, in SADC region, we're actually ranked as the second most giving country.
Wow, that's amazing. And it is true. We've seen it. I mean, we're seeing it in the media today with the huge shack fires in Kaya Sands, where 2,000 families have lost their homes, and people are just opening their hearts and giving donations and giving old clothes, and that's what's important. It's about, as a society, taking a collective responsibility.
Absolutely.
But giving's more than just money or giving a parcel or a Christmas parcel or old clothes. Volunteerism is also very, very important, and specifically for the listeners we're talking to, where a lot of them have retired or possibly going to be retiring soon.
Sure.
They've worked all their life, every day they go to work, and suddenly it stops. They may be executives, they may have 40 years of experience in whatever industry. How can first of all, what is volunteerism? What is it to be a volunteer in South Africa?
Okay, well, I mean, I think volunteering it's about giving of your time, it's about giving of your passion, but I would emphasize it's also really about giving of your skills. We all have so much to give, and sometimes we actually lose sight of how much we have to give, and also the great need out there. And the important thing is that we strive in our everyday lives to figure out how to connect you know, what we have to offer, our gifts in a way, with those in need. So it's also a personal, it's a very personal thing. And I think volunteering is akin to life. I mean, you learn, it's about engaging and connecting with people. It brings you purpose and meaning. And what we need to make sure is that the value that's generated through volunteering and that very human engagement is as valuable for the person giving as the person receiving.
And that's a very, very valid point, because people have the perception that, that volunteerism is just a one-way road. But listeners, the value and the reward and the satisfaction you're going to get as a volunteer is not something you can measure. And like we said, it's not always about a monetary value or giving something tangible. It's often the intangible that make a phenomenal difference in the beneficiaries' lives, and it'll make a difference in your life. And volunteerism is not only about, you know, you were an engineer all your life, or you were a marketing person all your life. You may be an avid gardener or an avid activist, or be extremely passionate about the environment. And that might have had nothing to do with your career, but that passion can add value to a school or charity or a program. So listeners, today we're going to be talking about volunteerism and the crucial role that it plays in civil society. So Karina, if a listener is retiring soon or has retired, where do you start? I mean, there's so many organizations and there's so many causes and there's so many things and you know, there's so many places they can help. Where would you say someone should think about or start about thinking about volunteerism?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is you have to have a bit of introspection around what you want to do, how you think you could help. What sector are you passionate about? Women's rights? Do you care about children and education and reading? Is your passion in the health sector? But then it's not just about your passion. And then if it's in the health sector, what sort of skills would you have to offer a person who's working in likely a smaller, underfunded, not as well capacitated as it should be NGO or NPO? What could you really bring to the table to support the work that they're doing? But it can't stop with just you thinking in your head about what you have to offer. Once you've kind of crystallized what might be exciting, and maybe it is a passion, or maybe it's somebody you know and they're involved in a great reading initiative, or they're involved in a great mentoring program. And so you also just need to use your networks to find your way. Maybe your old employer actually has programs that it supports through its CSI program, or also its employee volunteering program, and you could get linked up through them. So I think that's kind of the first piece, but then you have to have the conversation with someone working in the MPO sector, and only then can you really clarify exactly what your input could be, the time frame for it, because you can't go in thinking you know what might be needed. You really have to listen to the needs of that particular organization and their beneficiaries, whether it's children, animals, older people, women who have, left domestic abuse situations, and then find your niche.
And listeners, you know, it's not necessarily got to be a high-level PhD thing. You know, whether it's going to have a cup of tea with an old lady that doesn't have family, whether it's going to reach children at a preschool, whether it's going to go and plant your vegetables in a vegetable garden, whether it's just giving back. But I think the biggest challenge is that of how do we start the conversation, and the expectation from the volunteer and the organization. Because all too often we've seen volunteers fly in, create a huge hoo-ha, and then disappear and you don't see them again. Mandela Day is a typical example. Everybody does something on Mandela Day, but every day should be a Mandela Day.
Sure, every day should be a Mandela Day. But, you know, I'm emphasizing the skills because I know you're listeners are educated. They come from probably some of the best schools and companies and government public sector institutions in the country. So I'm mentioning it because skills, there is a lack of skills in our younger population and in the NGO sector. But at the same time, just an example, one of our board members actually mentors a young woman who went through a bursary program, and there it was a structured mentoring program. And in terms of the value of having a mentor, it was just the ability to talk to someone who wasn't her mother, who wasn't her father, who wasn't her sister, who wasn't even her friend, and just to have someone to walk the journey with her, you know, the struggles of studying and passing your exams, and then other financial or family issues. So that it's about skills, but it's also about solidarity, I think.
Fantastic. On that note, we're going to take a short break and get some music so you can go and refill those cups of tea and come back, and we're talking volunteerism with Karina Cronin from Charity AIDS Foundation Southern Africa.
For a happy day.
Methodist Homes for the Aged provides affordable, secure, and caring accommodation and services to the elderly. We offer a wide variety of accommodation options in secure retirement villages, including rental units, life right units, frail and mid-care. We also offer specialized care for residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. Plan your retirement now. Contact us on 011-787-0330 or visit www.mha.co.za. At Methodist Homes for the Aged, people are our most important asset. Call 011-787-0330.
1485 AM.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome back to 60 Plus. This is your host, Kelvin Glenn, and we in studio with Karina Cronin from Charity AIDS Foundation Southern Africa. Today we're talking volunteerism, something we've all done throughout our lives in one stage of our life, whether you were at school, university, whether you had a volunteer program in your place of work, but especially those listeners that have now retired and are at home that have still got something to give back, or those of you that are going to be retiring soon, or even if you're still working, you can always give back. Karina, tell us about your journey, how you got here. It's an interesting job you do for Charity AIDS Foundation Southern Africa. How did you get into this?
Okay. Well, I imagine your listeners have heard that I have an American accent. So I came to South Africa in 2007 via the United Nations Volunteers Program, which is actually a great way for people who are mid-career or retired to get involved as a volunteer. And I was placed at an international NGO called Civicus, World Alliance for Citizen Participation. And prior to that, I had worked on civic engagement, social capital. So my journey really has been around the importance of us engaging as individuals in our society. And I wrote about it when I was with the United Nations Volunteers Program. And then I continued and have been working for South African NGOs that are really about promoting engagement, promoting volunteering ever since I arrived.
Wow. So listeners, it's we really have got a guest that knows what she's talking about. So going back to volunteerism, what should a listener be thinking of? And we spoke earlier about getting into it, but you want to pick up on that of the importance of this is a journey, and it's not just a fly in, a fly out. And how should they start having that conversation and getting their mind in the right space about their expectations as a volunteer and their expectations of the organization or the individual? Mm. Volunteerism doesn't have to be an organization. You might be mentoring a friend's child. You might be having a cup of tea with an aunt or a friend. Or just helping somebody down the road.
Sure.
So how do we get listeners to start thinking about it and getting into the right mind space and having the right conversations with whom so that they know when they're doing it 100% and it's with passion and conviction?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think it's really important that you kind of mention the distinction between volunteering with an organization like an NPO, which is important and does help the sector. And that can also involve one-on-one engagement or mentoring of, a manager, the HR professional, the HR manager, the finance manager, the executive director of an NGO. But it can also be these more informal but nonetheless structured. There has to be some structure, even if it's more informal relationships where maybe it is the child of a domestic worker, for example, and you decide that you're going to take a more active role. You have access to information and knowledge of the education system or the job hunting process. You could help with a resume, you could or a CV, you could help with interviewing skills. So it really is about building it's about learning. You have to learn with that person that you're going to volunteer with and or that organization. You have to be ready to learn, and you also have to know that it is not something that happens in a day. It is a journey like any relationship. Oftentimes there actually are restrictions on people coming in and working with children or mentoring a younger person unless you're willing to commit for 3 months or six. Usually actually it's more than 3 months. Usually it's about a year because at the end of the day, you're engaging with individuals, and you get affected as a person if a volunteer comes one day and then they don't come the next day. So if you're somebody who can't make a long-term commitment, then doing a lecture or something, a one-day lecture on marketing or on I don't know.
Financial management.
Sure, financial management, whatever it is, might work better for you. Mm. And you could fit yourself into a program that is a bit more holistic. So you just have to kind of think about your skills, your willingness, and your ability to commit time, and then find the sweet spot.
And that's the interesting thing, listeners, is that when one is volunteering, you may not – it's like harvesting a garden. You know, the soil has to be right. You have to plant the seeds. You have to water them. You have to nurture them. You have to let them grow. You have to prune. Mm-hmm. You have to look after. Then mm-hmm. you get to the harvesting. And often you might not see the results of your work, but by volunteering and giving back, you are really shaping the next generation. And whether it's individuals or bathing animals at the SPCA, you might not see the instant gratification. You might not see the instant results, but by giving back as a volunteer, you're definitely shaping society. And unfortunately, in the space we're in at the moment where there's a lot of negative media, there's a lot of negative publicity, yeah. people are extremely feeling tired. It's the end of the year. They're not feeling optimistic. The economy's suffering. That little bit of volunteerism can really, really, really help. And what I want to touch on now is what is the motivation for an individual to volunteer, in the sense of what is the volunteer getting out of it? What do they get out of giving back?
Sure.
And why is it important for a person who's possibly going to be retired soon or is retired to get that back?
Sure. Well, it's very interesting that the research on volunteering, whether it's international volunteering, corporate employee volunteering, and I can talk most about those two, is that the person volunteering gets the most. In fact, that is the person who benefits the most. And it's a great thing, because you get meaning, you get purpose. There are also studies that show that volunteering and engagement, the human connections that we make, they support our well-being. There's a connection there. Mm. So there are, just a myriad of benefits for somebody who is going to volunteer. And actually, what we need to make sure is that the ones receiving get as much value out of it as the one who is actually doing the volunteering.
Okay. And so we said earlier it's about networking and talking to people and having the discussion about volunteering. So it's not something you're going to rush out tomorrow and decide, oh, well, I'm now going to be a volunteer for this charity or this organization. One needs to do one's homework. Where does one find out? Is there somewhere where people can find out where volunteers are needed? Is it just a Google thing, or do you talk to friends and colleagues? Do you talk to family? Do you talk to people in your church? Where does one start having the discussion and start doing one's research about and then it's when they first go and visit that organization and say, I'm interested in being a volunteer, what is the two or three questions they should be asking, or the things they should be looking for when they're visiting an organization?
Okay, so the one, how can you find out about volunteering opportunities? There are actually not enough platforms for that in South Africa at the moment. You can always get in touch with CAF Southern Africa, but there are a few platforms out there that people can Google if you just mm-hmm. Google volunteering opportunities. And then often what you find is that NGOs, MPOs have on their websites how to get involved, and that might be giving a cash donation, but then there are usually also opportunities for volunteers to get involved, or volunteers to do there's also often lists of kind of what they need in terms of in-kind donations and that sort of thing. So I think you start with an organization that piques your interest, and if the information on the website isn't clear, then you make a phone call and you have a conversation. And I think some of the things that you really need to look for is does the NGO understand what it needs, and is it able to tell you? Because if it does, then it's done thinking about how it can actually engage volunteers in an effective way. You want to kind of understand, are they able to also tell you what they expect from you? Mm. What are their expectations of their volunteers? What are the time commitments? You want to see that the NGO has been thinking through volunteers as any other resource, as strategically as any other resource that they're drawing on.
Yeah, because all too often we have heard horror stories where volunteers are disrespected, not looked after, come to do their volunteer hours and the NGO is not ready for them. So folks, it's about you finding the right fit, and it's about you doing your homework, and as we said right at the beginning, going for that passion. It may be something that you've been passionate about all your life that you've never had the opportunity to do. It might be gardening, it might be reading, it might be women's rights, children's advocacy, the environment. This is your opportunity as a member of society and a member of our country to help build our country. And Karina spoke quite a lot about the gap of the skills gap and the knowledge gap, where we keep on reading in the media that there's a big knowledge gap and there's not enough transfer of skills. So as a person who's retired or taken early retirement, or you may even still be working but have extra time on the weekends or during your vacations, it's your opportunity to take your knowledge and all your life skills and help shape the future leaders of our country. Yeah. We can't all sit back and keep on complaining about everything that's wrong. That's the easy thing to do. It's what can we do in our own little small way, in our own little community, in our microcosm of society, to shape the future, to make the world a better place. And as Karina said, often the person volunteering gets more out than the person receiving, but it is a two-way road. And it is very important that one takes it seriously and makes that commitment, because the expectation of the beneficiary is there, and it takes commitment and dedication, which is not always easy.
Yeah.
But you have to be ready to make that decision. And it means starting small. We don't expect you to give 8 hours a day every day of the week. It may start small with 1 hour a week.
Or it's a journey. I think it's a journey.
And that's the important thing. We constantly talk about journeys. So, Karina, we've got time for a quick sum up. An hour's gone very quickly. In summary, last words to our listeners about volunteerism.
Well, I think the reason when you say there's a lot of bad news out there about the economy, unemployment, water crisis, etc. I mean, I think this is, instead of complaining, it's precisely the time when one needs to say, okay, what do I have to give back to really be part and to take part in continuing to build this country to the best place it can be. So I really think that right now, and I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it in a lot of quarters, in the corporate work that we do, and just with the amazing NGO leaders that we get to meet, and amazing young people who are going back to their communities and giving back because they've had the opportunity to be educated. So it's a call for volunteering right now, and there needs to be one, and I think it is happening. And if your listeners can get involved, I'm sure they have so many gifts to offer. That would be amazing.
Fantastic. Karina from Charity AIDS Foundation Southern Africa, thank you for joining us, sharing so much of your experience, your knowledge, your wisdom. So folks, in closing, we're asking you to be the change makers of the future and shape the future of this beautiful country of ours. If you want to get in touch with us at Methodist Homes for the Aged, our number is 011-787-0330. That number again, 011-787-0330. We can put you in touch with Charity AIDS Foundation if need be. Otherwise, visit our website, www.mha.co.za. Karina, once again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge.
We'll be back next week on 60 Plus. Be safe, be blessed. Good day.